Oh my goodness, Leslie Grossman, it's been a month since we have done any podcasting, you and I. I'm so glad that it's 2022 and we're back at it.
Me too. I have missed doing this, and I am glad to get some ideas and our opinions out there.
Yeah, exactly. But it's 2022, and I think everybody's trying to have a fresh start, even though we keep getting beaten back, but we're trying, you know. And last year, you and I talked about doing, at the end of each year, a list of our favorite women leaders from the prior year. And we decided this year to do six of them. You picked three and I picked three, and we didn't interchange or speak about it to each other. And I'm so excited about it because I want, you know, we all know Leslie is a serious scientist type person who accurately did, you know, and I'm like all over the place. So my leaders might be a little bit outside the box. And I just want to say that I went outside the gate, especially because there are just so many ways to lead. And one of the things that 2022, I think, is going to bring out in the leadership community is that it's not just about leading others. It's leading yourself. Mm. It's about leading. And so I think it's really an exciting time to do it. So mine are a little bit outside the box and they're eclectic, and I hope you'll bear with me, Leslie Grossman.
Oh, absolutely. I think the great news is that really we had so many women doing great things in the past year. First of all, women were great just because of what the burden they had to carry through COVID, right? I mean, so as in my opinion, every woman out there should be acknowledged. Really, but you know, that's me.
Yeah.
But it is true because I think we have to be the leaders of our own life before we can be the leaders of
others. I love that. You know, 2020 years to be the leader of your own life. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
So anyway, but I went probably maybe a little bit more traditional way with my three leaders, and I found it really hard to choose three. Mm-hmm. But one of the things I think would be fun if we also, and valuable, is as we're identifying these leaders, you know, what is it that we can learn from them, or what were the qualities that made them a leader of their own life, not necessarily followers, mm-hmm. but got them to where they are now, where they're making contributions in different ways.
Yeah. Well, also, it doesn't have to be a good witch. It could be a bad witch. I'm just saying.
I know.
There are all different kinds of leaders.
There are. And I mean, I tried to stay away from that only because I think Time Magazine picked a lot of leaders that could be in the bad witch category. So,
well, let's not even talk about their Time Magazine Person of the Year. Like, are you kidding me? But anyway, okay, so you go, you want to roll in first or you want me to do it? You go.
I'll start first because I want to start with a double barrel of women, two women that I've put together as my first one.
So in other words, you've already started cheating. We're not even into the new year and you're going to do four instead of three. Is that it?
Well, yes, but these two needed each other.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm with you. Who do you have?
To be able to be the great leaders. And I think collaboration is a very important thing that we women have to look at. All leaders need to be able. Good leaders, great leaders collaborate. Poor leaders, and we know some of them, do not collaborate. They try to do it all and be it all about them, right?
Okay, with that intro where she definitely bent the rules, go ahead. Who are the two women you've got?
So the two women that I have put together as a pair, and I'm going to say their names slowly because they are not American names, although they both are women. Well, one of the women is an American, and they are Aslam Tarisi. And I will tell you who she is. She is one of the heads of BioNTech. BioNTech, you may recall, is the company that one of the two companies, but the first company that developed the first RNA-based vaccine that was approved for use against COVID-19.
Was she the one out of England? Isn't she the one out of
No, not in England. She's not Germany. They were in Germany.
Okay.
But she's the chief medical officer of that organization. And the partner that I have chosen for, because she couldn't have done what she did in producing the vaccine, is Cataline Carrico. And Catalin is a Hungarian scientist, Hungarian-born scientist, but has been in the United States for about 40 years, actually, 35, 40 years. And she has actually been working on that RNA for really the last 30 years. And so when people say that it was too fast, it wasn't too fast. This was being worked on for a long time to cure a lot of things, to provide vaccines for a lot of things. So together, Catalin, she was a professor at University of Pennsylvania, but mostly she realized, and she was working in the last 10 years with a gentleman by the name of Drew Weissman, and together they actually produced and have the patent for the RNA. But she realized several years ago that it wasn't enough to be at University of Pennsylvania doing this. She needed to work with a commercial company in order to produce something that would really make a difference out there. And then she became vice president at BioNTech. And so that's why it required the two of them of working together. One who really, they're both scientists, by the way, but one was the chief medical officer of a corporation, and the other was the actual scientist who collaborated with another scientist, a male scientist, for quite a few years to develop this. So I really think these women need to be saluted as leaders because of their focus. Focus is a very important part of leadership, at collaboration, and courageously following a hunch. They, of course, did not know there was going to be COVID, but they knew, she knew that what she was working on was going to solve a lot of medical mysteries and problems. And so together with her compadre, Aslam, they were able to produce this incredible vaccine. It is amazing. And leadership requires this collaboration and open-mindedness. To listen to each other and to help each other. And I don't want to leave Drew Weissman out of it either, because his tenaciousness was also there. So I think that they need, and by the way, the two women are front runners to receive Nobel Prizes.
I was just going to say, it sounds like a Nobel Prize winner to me. So basically they led the scientific community around the development of the vaccine. So good for them.
Yeah, absolutely. And if we didn't have that vaccine now, where would we be?
Yeah, I remind myself as everybody's getting sick around me that a year ago I would have been terrified they were going to die. So namaste. I'm very grateful. Absolutely. So congratulations to them. Good choice.
Yeah. Amazing scientists. And we have to keep encouraging women and girls to go into science.
Right, we do.
We really do, because we add so much value the way we think.
I've been reading a lot about that lately, and I think rather than encouraging them to go into it, I think what we have to do is to figure out why in the fourth, fifth, and sixth grade they go out of it after having been so successful in it. So it's not even a question of getting them to go in. It's a question of stopping them going out. But anyway, moving right along.
Yes. Okay. So your turn.
Okay. My turn. Yay, me. First up for me is Amanda Gorman. Okay. And I'm proud to say that I chose her before you sent me her year-end poem, which I thought we'd play at the end of the podcast today, because it's just so perfect for this moment in time. But I chose her because her words were the best spoken at an inauguration that almost did not happen.
Yes.
And I chose her because she turned down Oprah's offer to dress her for her inaugural debut, because she'd already picked her yellow coat and outfit from Prada, I might add. But she said no. She had her own style, and she said to Oprah, thanks, but no thanks. Okay. No one does that to Oprah.
That is for sure. It's the first time I ever heard of it.
That's leadership. I picked her because she is of the generation that must find a new way to lead in a new world, where leadership has barriers that our generation never had, you know. And she met that challenge using words that were all true. She chose those words so carefully. Words that mirrored so much of America, not just her own image. And I chose her because she's confident young, a kid, and she's publicly confident anyway, without the self-doubt of youth that held me back for years and years in offering my best self, it was just a little outside the box. So her leadership can thrive stronger, longer, bolder, because she doesn't need my carrot to follow. And I chose her because she doesn't ask me to follow her as much as she asks me to follow my own vision and truth. And I don't think she needs me to jump on her bandwagon as much as she needs to continue traveling on hers. That's leadership. I don't think she's even in it to lead. So I chose her because she turned down tens of millions of dollars in sponsorship money to make sure that she chooses the right path. And I chose her because she decided at the age of 15 that she wanted to become president of these United States of America. And she chose a date and a plan to get herself there. My God, where did she learn those leadership skills? I actually think she was born with them. And I think her mother did not allow one barrier to entry to be put upon her. And I chose her because she has conquered the challenge. And this is the biggest reason, of leaving humility behind without becoming a braggart that can't be followed. I am really struggling with that. And I think it's a huge leadership issue. You know, where does humility, everybody's like, be humble. No. She leaves it behind without becoming a braggart that can't be followed. There is a path. I think she's showing us the way. So she paves a new path that I will follow my own way in my own stride through her amazing leadership. And I chose her because she uses the word we in all of her work, but there's no I, but she stands alone. She asks not for perfection, but she asks to strive for purpose. And so I will follow her anywhere, except I will not start wearing the color yellow, because a girl has to have her boundaries, Leslie, and my boundaries are yellow does not work for me.
Yeah. And, you know, if I can add to what you've said, which you said so brilliantly, the other thing that, and also it piques my interest, she overcame, as everyone knows, I believe, a speech impediment, which she has stated she still has, that she still works on. And, you know, that always reminds me often, you know, why you want your children to have it easy, right? You don't want them to have challenges.
As a Black woman and a single mother with not a lot of money, she never had it easy. But anyway.
She never had it. But that's my point. Yeah. It does seem that often people that don't have it easy strive harder if they've got the right stuff, so to speak. Yeah. That just that act of having to get beyond something that is put in front of you that is for most people would be held back by.
It's true.
She made, and that's probably, I think I read, why she started to do poetry. Even it had something to do with the speaking of it and all of that.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
Yeah, but I sort of wanted, I actually left that out on purpose. Not that you can't bring it in, but I left it out on purpose because for me, it's not her leadership skills. And I was trying to focus on who leads in their own individual, independent way. She doesn't talk really much about that anymore because it's just one of those things. But, you know, I don't see this as going to be sort of, I don't think that's going to be her legacy, is what she overcame.
Yeah. No, it is not part of her legacy. I think it's more an interesting thing for others to know when they sometimes think they have burdens to bear that will stop them from moving forward. It's also often helpful to remind ourselves, well, look at that, what that person overcame and where they are.
Yeah.
It's more for that reason, not for her at all. Because I don't think that was present in her own mind.
Yeah, well, I want to leave with her color yellow. You go, girl. You wear the color yellow and you wear it well and you stand alone and I will follow you anywhere. I do follow her very carefully and I will continue to do so. So who's your next one? What do you have next?
The next one is a woman that I never heard of and I don't know why.
Then how did you pick her?
I mean, because all of a sudden she is very visible and just at the end of this year. And that is Sharon Bowen, who was named the chairman of the board of the New York Stock Exchange.
Recently.
So, yeah. Now, it's like we hear about women in finance from time to time, not a whole lot, but we do hear about them. But she has quietly, and by the way, a Black woman, she has very quietly become, and apparently it's known in the financial circles, the top finance and securities lawyer of the country. And I mean, that is what her reputation is. And she's been a member of the board of the New York Stock Exchange, as well as ICE, which owns the stock exchange. And she's been appointed a number of times to very high level positions by President Obama. Named her the vice chair of the Securities Investor Protection Corporation. And that's the body that regulates U.S. broker deals. So she's had very high positions. But I guess we don't, those of us in my arena leadership, we're just not familiar with people like that. But when you look at a woman who is also first as a Black woman at such a high level, you'd think that there would be more out. But again, she's probably a woman who is very more or less modest about herself. She's not out there building her brand like a lot of other people, looking to get PR, anything like that. She's just very focused in her expertise. And that it's really interesting. When I started reading about her, I started to read about other women that are, well, how many women are there on the board of the New York Stock Exchange? And how many women are there on NASDAQ? And all of, you know, looking at that kind of thing. Surprisingly, there's a fair amount of women.
Yeah, not, I was going to say it's quite a diverse board, actually.
Yeah. I mean, not equal by any means, but fair amount. But I thought this was a real breakthrough. And I think that it's really important because it really, Black women are not credited in most corporations, although we've got a few women for the first time that are now CEOs of major corporations, Walgreens, but not many, very few. And so I think we have to pay attention to this. And this is a lesson for those who don't believe in diversity and inclusion, that starting to look at the fact that, you know what, it doesn't matter what gender you are. It doesn't matter what skin color you are. You could be a disabled person. And we know brilliant disabled people as well. We have to look at who people are in terms of what they deliver, what they are inside, and stop judging by the superficial things of what they look like. Maybe it would be better if we didn't have TV or Zoom and we were doing only podcasting and stuff like that, because then you don't really see people. And guess what? Doesn't matter what color you wear then. Doesn't have to be yellow. Yeah. But
you can't miss her, you know. Anyway, she's what a great choice. I'll have to check her out.
Definitely. Very interesting.
Okay, so my second choice is Mary Barra. And I grew up in Detroit and my dad was at Ford Motor Company and he was in the glass house and I went there and the only women I ever saw were serving coffee or taking care of me while my dad was doing his manly thing. That was it. There's no way that glass house did not have women there except for in the kitchen or at the secretarial desk. So the fact that 50 years later, Mary Barra is leading General Motors, who, by the way, was run in my teens by Ed Cole. His daughter, Ann, went to my high school. Don't get me started. But I promise you, he was not inclusive. Her rise to power, I would have bet you up until she came into play 5 years ago, but I would have bet it would never happen. So of all the industries, I see the auto industry as many things, but not inclusive of women in management. So I pulled her out because I started to really look at her, and she worked from the time she was 18, where she was a line manager. She was a line watcher in the factory. Her father worked at GM. She was a GM committed family member. So she started there and she moved up through procurement, through international distribution. She went into all the different areas that you have to be in to be able to lead a company like that. But here's what's interesting. She has focused on empowering the workforce, not herself, not her management team, to create and innovate with the goal of positioning General Motors as the industry leader for safer, more environmentally friendly vehicles. Okay, those two things alone, safer and more environmentally friendly, you get burned on the stake for saying those things in Detroit, Michigan. So that's her mandate. And so what it shows again is how women don't have to follow in the male footsteps. They can lead from their own point of view and their own desires, et cetera. So what she did was transformational. Her influence will continue to shape General Motors long after she's gone. But I want to take a little more time on this one because my other two are very short. Recently, she scaled down and restructured General Motors to turn to driverless and electric vehicles, beating Tesla to release the first mass market electric car. So here's what she said. We are all in on electrification and our commitment to create a world with zero crashes, zero emissions, and zero congestion. Again, I think that's a female-based leadership position where she cares as much about the product and how it behaves as she does about the bottom line for the investors. And you can do both and succeed. So here's some of the what I consider to be the leadership skills of her. And again, I went very short on my first and third, so I can spend a little more time with her. Get behind a clear and ambitious vision. So in early 2021, Barra made a significant announcement. By 2035, GM will be entirely carbon neutral. Okay, that's an ambitious vision. And she said it out loud. She's investing $27 billion in electric vehicles. She did not cringe at all. She went online. This is what I'm going to do. That's a big bite to chew. Okay. Work on your reaction times. So during COVID, General Motors, under her leadership, pulled people from all across the company. Within 30 days, they were making ventilators to help plug the global shortage. Okay. I can tell you, having been through those factories, that to change a factory's assembly line that used to make a car into a ventilator in 30 days is nothing short of a miracle. And she said, we're going to do it. How are we going to do it? How are we going to get it done? Develop a consensus style leadership. Okay. So she takes great stock in and puts value in communication. So when she first took over, she brought all the GM senior managers together and she asked them how they would change the company culture. And then out of that process and out of that meeting, she identified and introduced behaviors, for example, being customer-centric and inclusive. And she then aligned the processes to them. So she believes in a consensus style of leadership. So, and then adapt to changing employee needs. Okay, I don't even need to start on the pandemic changed the employee needs in Detroit in a huge, huge way. She adapted and was held really on a high in stature for that. She involved flexible work hours because she realized people had to be home and they had to cover for each other. And so she changed it all so you could do flex hours. She accommodated the changing employee needs during COVID in a really strong way. So I picked Mary Barra because A, she did the impossible. I promise you, becoming the head of an automobile company is nothing short of a miracle. And I think that what she did was it would have been so easy to become the head of GM by acting like a man, but she didn't. She mm-hmm. led like a female leader. And I have always said, and I still believe, and I think she gives me hope, that it's not about learning skills to deal in the man's world as much as it is to chart our course the way we would lead it. And show everyone that that's a better course than following the male lead. So I'm all in Mary Barra. She's my girl.
I absolutely vote for her. She has a very special place in the presentation I make in all my programs.
There you go. Who knew?
The leadership programs, because of all the reasons that you shared. Yeah. And she's been extraordinary. And the first thing you said, which is what I really want women to remember that are listening to this podcast, is she had a vision. That vision that she, a strong vision.
Well, and not only that, she wasn't afraid to articulate it, even though other people would say, are you crazy?
Well, that's it. And she didn't. And sometimes women that are leading, you don't even have to, this isn't probably true with Mary Barra, but sometimes we could set a vision and not be 100% sure how we're going to achieve it yet. But knowing that it's the right vision, you will figure out how you're going to get there.
Exactly.
And that's what she did too, by using all those amazing skills that you talked about, what she did. So I think that she is extraordinary, and she's been there 15, is it 15?
No, she's been there 5-6 years, maybe. I believe she came in 2015.
Okay, she's been there a while, though. So, you know.
Well, that's not really a while in a company like GM. Look, GM was started in, I think, 1904 or something. It moves the way the Titanic does, not the way a jet ski does. And in 5 years, for her to have accomplished these things, the fact, again, that she could turn an assembly run around in 30 days is just phenomenal. And so I think she's been there a very short time when you consider that the roads to change at General Motors take decades, not years. Yeah. Who's your last person?
My last person is somebody that not everybody may agree with, but I think that this woman has shown extraordinary leadership through her courage in particular. And where I may not agree with her on the policies that she believes in, or, you know, and those of you listening, some of you agree with her, some of you don't, but I think there is no denying that Liz Cheney is one of the most courageous human beings of the year. I think she should have been named a Time Magazine Person of the Year, because what she has done, which is extraordinary. I mean, I will quote here from what a columnist, Jim Vickie, said about her. What is the test for being courageous, right? We're not talking about physical strength here in terms of courage. We're talking about standing for values, doing things that are unpopular. Question that this columnist asks is, you can judge a person's courage by asking the question, is the person taking a presently unpopular position or doing a presently unpopular act that is clearly contrary to one's own, her own personal and or political or other important interests? And if so, she is a candidate for the Hall of American Heroes, this columnist Jim Vickie says, Vickery. She certainly has, because certainly she is a conservative in every way. And she voted for so many things that the Republican Party and the President Trump was for. She supported all of that.
I was just going to say, you know.
And I don't agree with that myself personally. However, the committee on January 6th, if it did not have a couple of Republicans on there, it would be worthless, quite frankly. And she has stood up and said, no, this is not right. This is wrong. And she's already was taken off her committee chairmanship. And who knows if she may lose her seat completely in the election, but she was willing to
stand.
She's not
going to lose. No, by the way, she's very popular in her state. Yeah, I know the numbers. She's not going to lose the election.
Well, I hope not. I hope not. But the point was that she was willing to put things at risk for standing up for what she felt was right. Now, the other thing about her that I think makes her a good leader is how she communicates. And we have seen, and not all women are as good communicators. That includes politicians or women in business in general. One of the complaints I sometimes hear from men, or I've read studies on this, that women go on too long, they don't get to the point. Well, Liz Cheney gets to the point. She knows, she uses her words very carefully, very wisely, and not too long, she gets to the point and paints a picture, a story about, in this case, what happened on January 6th. And that was in her public statement that she made, which was all over the news just about, I guess, a week ago or so. So, I mean, I think it takes a lot of courage to criticize someone who is very popular in your own party, a party that is filled with people that have gone wishy-washy back and forth about what was right and what was wrong. And now that we have this big lie to be able to, for her to stand up and say it, and a woman, I think was really very noteworthy. And that's why she is my selection along with the others.
Liz Cheney, not sure I would have picked her, but you know, I think it's interesting what you say. And I certainly appreciate what she's doing on that committee at this moment in time. So
we need her. We need her. The country needs her. The country needs her on the committee right now, and having her stand up as she has.
I think the country needs to stop voting for people who are not joining in doing what's right around January 6th. That's what the country needs, is to start taking responsibility. Yeah.
We're talking about women, what the country really needs.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. We'll see. Leaders. Yeah. Yeah. In dissent discussions, excellent. So anyway, interesting group of people, no question. And my last one, which by the way, it's so funny that it follows your Cheney choice, because I'm sure I'm going to get hit a lot on this one. So are you watching Yellowstone?
No, I'm not watching Yellowstone.
Okay. Well, it's the number one TV show in the country. And women are talking about, Beth Dutton is a killer on this show. Okay. She's brutal. I mean, brutal. There are moments where you just cringe. And my significant other says, how can you like this woman? But there's something she brings out in me. And I've seen it all over Twitter. I've seen it all over social media. I've seen it in Vanity Fair. I've seen it in The Atlantic. Everyone's writing about this character. And she's exaggerated. Her evil is exaggerated, and so is her good. But I picked her because, let me just present the case for Beth Dutton, which I'm actually writing a piece on. So I think she represents the best and the worst of the demons and the angels that are inside women who have grown up like I did, constantly finding ways to be great without laying a shadow over anyone standing next to you. And so she had a terrible childhood and a mother who was evil. She had a brother who betrayed her in the worst way. She's driven by revenge, which I hope, namaste, she can conquer over time. And I think she's trying, you know. But here's the thing. She is loyal. God, is she smart. She is lonely, but not willing to settle. She loves, and she will do anything for those that she loves. She has a great style. She has a creative mind. And yes, okay, yes, I will grant you, she uses it to bury her adversaries. I mean, literally bury her adversaries. But it's creative. And she has one-liners that tell her truth without regret or the need to do more than laid on the table. You know, she leads no one but herself, nor does she try to. She is the only one she's leading. So some people say she's evil, and mostly they are men in the social media platforms that are saying that. And I think she terrifies them. She does bad things, yes. She also does really good things. And I think the good things far outweigh the bad, which is interesting because maybe that's similar to Cheney, you know? So she's in pain and she's trying to find her way, but she never gives up, ever. So what I like most about her is the sheer numbers of women like myself that are standing up for her in Twitter and across social media, because we're all saying that she shows a piece of ourselves we've hidden. And while she's an exaggerated character, she can lead us to change just by watching her journey. I mean, isn't a public journey that we can relate to, even if it's outrageous and unbelievable, that's centered around qualities, good and bad, that we are all trying to manage, worthy of my time? I think it is. So Beth Dutton, you're my girl this year. And I choose her as one of the great leaders of 2021. Yep, I'm sticking with it. I'm sticking with this one,
Leslie. All right. I'm curious who the writer is.
It's a man.
Oh, so that's
But they've talked to him about that, you know, and he's done a lot of research around it. And she, the woman who plays Beth Dutton, has done a lot of interviews, and I've listened to many of them because I'm writing a piece on it. I'm writing a piece called In the Defense of Beth Dutton. And also, this is a woman a lot of women are talking about, and they're debating issues around the way she behaves. And I think, gosh, when a leader calls upon you inside, even if it's on television, a character, a fictional character, makes you challenge the way you behave, then that's somebody who's leading, you know? So
I would agree with you. But I think anything that motivates and inspires people to have conversations and look at themselves, I would agree with completely.
Yeah. So as predicted, I'm a little outside the box, and I get that. I mean, you should see Leslie's face a couple of times, like, Beth Dutton, who the hell is that? You know, but no offense, I didn't know all your people either. So there you go. But here's the thing. Maybe what we hope would come out of this podcast is, who did you think were great leaders in 2021 and why? I would personally love to hear from people who listen. And I'm going to be putting this podcast out also. It's not going to just go out under Leslie's umbrella. But I would love to hear from people as to who you pick and why. And, you know, how about we choose leaders that don't necessarily follow the traditional paths, you know?
I would like to add something to that. I'd also like to add, and what do you know about them that you'd like to maybe take on yourself? What quality in those leaders would you like to have in yourself or more of?
I'm all in.
That would be great. And we could do a podcast about that.
Yay. Yeah. No, I think it's great. But anyway, this was really fun for me. And I spent some real time trying to go outside my traditional box of traditional women. What really was so exciting is there was so much going on where you could pick a lot of different people. And it's a great year. And 2022 is going to be a great year for women too.
Absolutely. A great year for us all. We just need to move into it, not let things get in our way, right?
I'm all in. Okay, we'll talk to you soon.
All right.
May this be the day we come together. Mourning, we come to mend. Withered, we come to weather. Torn, we come to tend. Battered, we come to better. Tethered by this year of yearning, we are learning that though we weren't ready for this, we have been readied by it. We steadily vow that no matter how we are weighed down, we must always pave a way forward. This hope is our door, our portal, even if we never get back to normal. Someday we can venture beyond it to leave the known and take the first steps. So let us not return to what was normal, but reach toward what is next. What was cursed, we will cure. What was plagued, we will prove pure. Where we tend to argue, we will try to agree. Those fortunes we forswore, now the future we foresee. Where we weren't aware, we're now awake. Those moments we missed are now these moments we make, the moments we meet. And our hearts, once all together beaten, now all together beat. Come, look up with kindness yet, for even solace can be sourced from sorrow. We remember not just for the sake of yesterday, but to take on tomorrow. We heed this old spirit in a new day's lyric. In our hearts, we hear it for old lang syne, my dear, for old lang syne. Be bold, sang time this year. Be bold, sang time, for when you honor yesterday, tomorrow ye will find. Know what we fought need not be forgot, nor for none. It defines us, binds us as one. Come over, join this day just begun. For wherever we come together, we will forever overcome.